Thank you very much for inviting me here today. I'm actually quite pleased to be here because I believe that we're on a fairly exciting mission when it comes to aged care and when it comes to GLBT issues. And I think we're at the very beginning of this particular journey. So I'd actually like to talk a bit today about what it is that we're actually doing here in Brisbane. As it says down there, there's a conglomerate of organisations that's actually been involved in the Queensland Ageing Action Group. And what we're planning to do, and this has been going on for about 2 years or thereabouts, and what we're trying to do is to look at raising the issue of aged care and general community care within the community itself, but also in the broader community. And there's been a bit of work that's been done around, around the world and also in Australia in more recent times on some of these really important issues. So as it says down the bottom there, it's a conglomerate of organisations that have come together, I guess, in which to look at this issue and to share resources. So, you know, the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities. I think I saw Rob here from, again, Lisbon Welfare Association is here somewhere. Rob's been involved since the beginning. And myself from the Commonwealth Carer Respite Centre. And I'll state up front that even though we've got Commonwealth in our name, we have nothing to do with John Howard except get money from him. So I just wanted to point that out very clearly, just in case you were wondering about that. Now let's see if this mouse moves okay. Oh, it does. Okay. Bit hard to see there on an angle, but that's all right. So the outline of what we're trying to do is that we have the formation of the Ageing Action Group. And the purpose of our group at the moment is to develop and conduct a survey within the community right across Queensland. And I'll get to the guts of that fairly shortly. And what we were trying to get out of the survey is to look at a number of things, and that was to look at basic demographic information, look at the issues around carers, look at health concerns and support, look at the issue around concerns regarding accessing services and supports, that's in aged care, disability, right across the board. And support from the LGBT community. So we set ourselves a fairly ambitious, I guess, program or project, in trying to look at some of these broad issues that haven't been looked at in a great deal of detail before. So the background of our group, we formed, I think it was in April 2005, Rob, I think we formed, as it says up there, with Quack, GLWA, Commonwealth Care Respite Centre, Carers Queensland, Positive Directions and Queensland Positive People. And the focus at that point was looking at carer-based issues in the community, because we had had a few calls from carers who were gay or lesbian from the community ring us. And I guess we wanted to sort of look at exploring some of these issues a bit more, and some of our interstate colleagues were doing the same thing. But I guess as we went along, it turned into bigger than Ben-Hur, in that we couldn't look at that issue in isolation from the aged care issue and the community access issues that were actually happening, especially as the Australian population will actually age fairly rapidly over the next 40 years. It's projected that 26% of all people will be aged over 65 by, I think, around 2040, I think it was. So it's a very rapidly ageing population, and the gay and lesbian community is not immune to this, and in some ways we're actually very unprepared for this. So we wanted to find out as a starting point, well, what were the needs, experience and future direction from the community, because we had very little information to work on. So the forming of the Ageing Action Group, it formed basically out of two groups. It formed out of the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities. It's one of their missions to look at the aged care issue within the gay community, gay and lesbian community. So the Quack Board commissioned a brief literature review of ageing concerns last year. Ageing became a priority issue to explore by the Quack Board, and the Quack Board established the Ageing Action Group as a subcommittee of the board in 2006. In combination with this, So we combined the two groups. We combined the Quack Ageing Action Group and the community interagency merged to form the Ageing Action Groups, which made a lot of sense at the time. Rather than groups doing their own thing, it made sense to bring together resources, and we've done that fairly well to date. So themes in international research. So this is what the literature review actually, what came out of that, and the key issues regarding LGBT ageing were as listed there, invisibility of aging LGBT people within the general community. So it's really not talked about in any aged care forums, except in, I guess, this year is the first that that's time that that's happened. Social isolation from the LGBT community itself, from families resulting from the loss of partner. I guess also there, recognising family of choice was an issue that came up. And sometimes it's not just biological families that are important, it's also families by choice, which are equally important for many people in the community. The long-term impacts of HIV/AIDS in LGBT communities, and this is going to impact in aged care as the community ages. Some people are going to aged care facilities perhaps, and those facilities are going to have to deal with people with HIV/AIDS issues and also hepatitis C issues as well. And many of those facilities and community care providers are very unprepared in dealing with some of these issues. There's a lot of issues that have already just been identified in terms of HIV/AIDS, with diabetes, with heart conditions, those sort of things, which are also prevalent as one ages. So there's lots of crossing over of issues there too. Also, when it comes to adherence to medication regimes, we've been hearing in the papers lately about the lack of nursing home staff. Well, what's that going to do in terms of assisting people in which to be compliant with medication? So there is a lot of concerns there. Long-term impacts of hormone therapy for transgendered people. And continued, we've got issues around service provision. What home-based community services exist? Well, there's none to date, really, that cater specifically for LGBT people. Residential aged care facilities. So that highlights a need for education on issues in our communities, developing appropriate care models, recognising non-blood-based support groups and families, maintaining a connection with the LGBT community in senior years. There's a lot of disconnect going on with people feeling as though they're not connected or feel as though that they relate to the gay and lesbian community, even though they might want to. And so the survey was called The Young, the Aging and the Restless. We got very desperate with the actual title of the survey and somebody came up with it. We went, we'll go with it. That's what we'll call it. You know, I think we're over it by this point, but it seems to have worked. So the aim was to identify the main concerns in relation to aging and caring. Aging issues across all lifespans. So we didn't just focus on people over 65. We actually wanted to know what 30-year-olds thought of aging. We actually asked a fairly controversial question in terms of, and I can't wait for the answer to this, but it's around, at what point do you think somebody in the community becomes old? So wait for that one. We're taking bets on this in terms of what the average will be. But I think that's, they're fascinating questions to ask. As I said, ageing issues across the lifespan, because it involves everybody and it interconnects with everybody. It's not just about one end of the spectrum. It's about how do all the lifespan in the GLBT community link together, if indeed they do. Perceptions, expectations, fears and current experiences. That's a big one. And I'll get to that in a little bit more detail in a minute when it comes to the survey, the initial survey results. Gaps in social support, appropriate service provision, health promotion and future needs. And a strategy for the group's future work. So we promoted the survey within the community and also within the aged care carers and community organisation networks. The survey was available online from February to April. And we expect a full report on the survey in August 2007. We're trying to commission out somebody in which to analyse the data in a lot of detail because we asked 36 questions. And we go into a great deal of detail in the survey. So we feel as though it's important to do it justice in which to get it properly analysed and a report done. So that'll be available, we hope, in August. So that was the advert that went into the various papers that was put together. Fairly colourful and it stood out fairly well. And we get into the guts of it. And these are only initial results, by the way. This is just raw data, but I think it gives you some interesting, I think it gives some fairly interesting outcomes, I think, already that we can see. So the total number of participants over that three-month period was 362 across Queensland. So we were very pleased with that outcome. We honestly didn't know what we would get. So as you can see, the majority of the respondents were between the 30s, 40s and 50-year age group. And I guess when you look at where we advertise, that's not surprising in the general gay press. However, we did get around about 18 to 20% between that 55 to 85 age group. So we'll be able to analyse data right across all of those age groups, actually. Okay, moving forward. No, I think I meant to put my hand up. Sorry? Ah, here we go. So where did the respondents come from? So around about three quarters came from the southeast metropolitan urban area, and the 25% came from regional, rural and remote. We got 83% were from Anglo-Australian background, 4% ATSI, 5% cold. So we'll be able to analyse some of those results as well. So 60 respondents were retirees, 38 were carers, and 24 were care recipients as well from that survey. So when we looked at carers, we divided the survey in terms of gender, age, care, looking at some of the fears, and we also looked at if you are a carer, we wanted to know some information there, because international studies show or are indicating that GLBT people are more likely to be in a caring role than the general population. And who are they caring for? Well, they're mainly caring for parents. Just under half are caring for parents, and just over a quarter are caring for partners. We don't know in what capacity they're caring in, but it seems to be mainly elderly parents. The three main concerns about ageing. Well, it wasn't just three main concerns. As you can see from there, there was a lot of concerns, actually, and fears that people expressed. So two-thirds of people responded to this question. So 227 responses. And the main ones were around, well, what's going to happen to my accommodation as I age? Am I able to stay in my own home? Will I have to go to a nursing home? Do I want to go to a nursing home? What's going to happen? Who's going to look after me? They were the main concerns around accommodation, followed very closely about being alone. So about that social isolation issue that I mentioned before, going further down, linking into social networks, being included within the gay and lesbian community as well, and being respected was a major one. So as you can see, there's lots of concerns that people had. The three main health concerns. Well, the main one up there was around I'm trying to read this on an angle. So two-thirds again responded to this. And again, it was mainly around a loss of independence, a decline in mental health feature there, and a loss of mobility. I mean, it's really no different to the general community, really, when you think about it. They mirror what the general community's concerns are about maintaining one's independence at home. So the GLBT community is no different in that respect. So who will support you in your senior years? So who will provide you with emotional, physical, and practical friendship networks? So in order, it was GLBT friends, their partner, straight friends and extended family. Who will you live with in your senior years? So who do you project that you will? So over two-thirds said a partner. Just around about a third said their friends. 27% no one. So we don't know what to make of that, whether it's that they want to live independently. That could be a good or a bad thing. And 20% fellow residents at an age. I thought this one was interesting. 62 responses, a fellow resident in aged care or nursing home facilities. So I'd be interested to find out, well, is that by choice or is that because you feel as though you'd be forced into a nursing home? So who will provide financial supports? There's mixed results here, but it's pretty much was indicating that it was the levels of independence financially was right across the spectrum to completely independent, right through to people relying on government benefits. Sometimes there's a bit of a perception that gay and lesbian people have more money, and what we've seen out of these results is that, well, that's not the case. It mirrors the whole spectrum of society here, and that very clearly came through. The three main concerns about accessing services. This was interesting. Two-thirds pretty much were concerned that their sexuality or gender identity may affect the quality of services that they will receive. So over 60% not recognising same-sex partnerships or their partner. That came up fairly consistently. Just over half not aware or the services are not inclusive of LGBT issues or people. They tend to turn a blind eye at times. 50% prejudice or discrimination, and 48% services are religious-based. And so I don't know about other states, but particularly in Queensland, a lot of the services are leaning more towards religious-based organisations, and the large community services are pretty much the four largest community services are religious-based organisations. So this may come into conflict with some of those views. Okay, accessing information. So where do people get their information? Well, they get their information primarily from the LGBT media, from LGBT-specific services and specific resources, and LGBT support organisations such as GLWA. How can the LGBT community support seniors and carers? That was a question that we asked, and hence the importance of asking all of the age groups, how can we support older people in our community? And what they felt as though the LGBT community can do for them is to provide them with information and referrals, senior social groups and events. We actually ran a senior event last year, and it had 40 people turn up to the first one in Brisbane. So it just went to show that there was a real need for this. And I think that links back to the isolation, that social isolation issue I was mentioning before. Coordinating and support to access appropriate services. So it's not just giving somebody a number, but it's actually like a guided referral. We want you to assist us to access those services out there, not just give us a number. Advocacy to deal with, I guess, with some of the discriminatory practices, as well as systemic advocacy. So looking at fixing up the system, not just on an individual basis. LGBT specific resources on ageing and care issues. Final survey report. Report of the survey aims to be completed by August this year for Seniors Week. So we want to time it to be in conjunction with Seniors Week so we can promote the report. The group, we hoped to be able to use this snapshot to inform the Ageing Action Group's future advocacy role within our communities and looking at, well, what direction do we take next? So we felt as though we needed baseline information so that we can take that forward, so that we can honestly go to the government and say, we have the information and the research, and this is what it says, and we want you to do X, Y, and Z. We can't just go to them with no information and say, well, we want you to do this. We're not quite sure what the issues are. We just won't get anywhere. So we felt as though the survey was the most appropriate way to start with this issue. Let's find out the needs first and build from that point. So what might this mean? Well, this is just a bit of a... I had a bit of a brainstorm with this morning, actually, so I hope, Rob, you don't mind me sort of putting some ideas down. But in terms of future development, I would say that perhaps we can look at a development worker that's funded to look at the issue this issue further around aged care, carers, project to further understand the specific needs and issues from the survey so we can get into the real, I guess, further analysis of it. Social support groups and linking programs within the community. We can look at education and training for the community sector. So let's bring some of the general community services up to speed with what some of the issues are and get them involved, as well as perhaps we might need to look at our community itself, might need to look at specific services in our own right. Service development. So we might need, as I said, we might need to look at our own services around specific aged care facilities, and that's something being talked about around the world at the moment. Support programs to remain living independently at home. So it's not just, majority of people don't want to go into aged care facilities, and that's right across the board. Most of the baby boomers want to stay at home in their own home. So therefore, we need to link the GLBT community to those programs in the community and for those programs to be sensitive to these issues and to actually for people to have equal access to those services and not be put off by them. Individual and systemic advocacy. I think we need to do a lot of that. And that's about keeping not just services honest, but it's about changing the system. Strengthen the LGBT community itself across the age groups. So looking at changing perceptions around what it means to participate in the LGBT community, that it's not just about 20-year-olds without shirts on at nightclubs and all that type of thing, but it's the whole spectrum, and that each of those age groups should be respected, and we should be looking at each of those age groups as a resource for our community. And that's about changing perceptions. It means improving media relations and images out there in the community. Oh. So that's pretty much a snapshot of the survey and where we're sort of going in this state with this issue. And as I said, we really are at the beginning of moving this issue ahead, but I think we've actually got some fairly clear directions that will come out of this survey already, even before the analysis is actually completed. So is there time for questions or?